Hey, I'm Seth Henniger. I'm the associate / youth pastor at Lake City, and I'm joined here with our pastor, Pastor Gary Kraft.
Hello.
And we've got a special day for you. We're going to go over another fun parable from Jesus.
Absolutely.
In Matthew chapter 5, 13 through, 16? Mm-hmm. And so, but first, as we always do, we're going to start out with a meme, and today's meme is very appropriate, Pastor. It's so good. It's so true. And it says, after 6 months of listening to people talk with masks on, I can finally understand what Charlie Brown's teacher's saying.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. Fine. It's because, I mean, that just translates.
Yeah.
You know, just finally after all that.
You know, well,
is that hard for you to hear people in masks? Sometimes it is for me.
Absolutely. I was at a convenience store trying to pay for something, and the girl was behind plexiglass and had a mask on. And I'm going like, I'm sorry, excuse me. And she said it again.
Yeah.
And I've said, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I cannot understand you, please.
Yeah.
And she did it again. And it took like three times to hear what she was saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just one of the many casualties of the whole mask phenomenon.
Yeah.
But that's funny. But you know what's ironic is, I don't know, even though it still comes on, you know, like the Charlie Brown Christmas special,
yes.
And all of that. So maybe most of those that might watch this, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah, womp, 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 womp,
yeah,
womp.
Yeah, but they just don't give her any dialogue in the little, you know. So anyway, it's
how it is. And I, like, you know, another thing with masks, you know, we have to wear them, but like the facial expressions when you're
you
like,
lose it.
Yeah, you just don't, you can't tell if somebody's smiling at you.
Yeah, I was, and I might have said this on one of our previous broadcasts or whatever you call this. I was sitting outside Cracker Barrel one day waiting on some people, and you know, people were walking by me. I was kind of near the main door. And as people were coming in from the parking lot walking by, you know, I wanted to go like smile and nod what or something. And I realized I'm going to have to speak or wave or something because they're not going to know.
Hey, but I'm smiling.
I'm a friendly guy. I'm glad to see you today, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult, but
and this really like complicated things for bank robbers too. So it's it's been difficult, you know, to know who is and who's not.
I have to tell you, Stephen, who is producing this for us, he and I went somewhere yesterday to look at some possible upgrades in furniture for our radio station, and I didn't have a mask in the truck.
Yeah,
but I had thrown a casual long sleeve shirt. It was laying in my back seat, and I looked all through my truck looking for a mask. Couldn't find one. I got that thing. I got the arms.
You tied it.
I tied
yes!
it. Wait a minute. Yeah. I tied it over my nose. It hung down here. The arms of the shirt wrapped around my head and tied on the front like a big bow on a bald baby's head. All you could see was my glasses.
I can't imagine the expression of the store clerk. Are you
by
serious?
Him. He's got his little discreet mask, and I've got this. I look like some Arabian baby boy with glasses.
That's fantastic.
It's funny.
I actually wish I was with you on that trip.
Well, we're going to talk about parables today.
Yeah.
Maybe the mask is a parable for something. Maybe the gagging of America, whatever. But don't want to get into politics
No.
But so share with us the parable we're going to talk about.
Well, and I'll read it because it's only three verses long.
Go ahead.
It's not really that long. It's found in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, you, my son loves this, by the way, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
My first thought, Seth, is of course, What is the main idea behind? Because these evidently are a pair.
Yeah.
He uses the figure or the word picture of salt.
Yeah.
And he uses the word picture of light.
Right.
Salt that gives flavor.
Right.
But light that brings, of course, something that's very much needed in a dark place, in a dark world. So what do you think the basic idea is? Then we'll talk about some of the ramifications of it.
Well, I know you've probably had salt before, right?
A time or two.
It definitely, if you have food that's too salty, what happens?
It's nasty.
You can't take it.
Right.
It's one of those spices that's so profound, you can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is unignorable, right?
Yeah, right?
And so if I put too much salt on something, I can't bear to eat it.
Right.
But if there's not enough salt in certain things, you can tell that there's not enough
salt. It's bland.
And the same thing, salt is a very profound spice.
It's okay.
Very, very powerful. And you can tell when it's not there. It makes a difference. And the same way, light in a room changes everything.
Everything.
Salt changes everything.
Yeah.
But light changes everything.
Changes the atmosphere. Changes the feel.
Right.
Changes. Let's kind of blend those two together.
Right.
Light in a dark room, we'll say, it changes the taste of the atmosphere.
Right, right. There you go.
And that kind of links it back to the salt. You know, here's the thing that I think. You know, salt, the thing about salt is, it does its best work when it dissolves and disappears.
Right.
Inside the food or the dish, whatever it is you're eating or drinking. And I don't know, too many people put salt in their drinks, but you know what I'm saying.
I hope not.
But, you know, in my mind, salt adds, it highlights or it enhances what it's mixed with.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so how does the people Jesus was talking to, he was calling people, you're salt.
Right.
You're the salt of the earth, or you're salt of the world. Okay, so how do we, let's just take that one aspect of salt.
Right.
It blends in with the thing it's seasoning and enhances. I mean, you don't want to say, wow, that roast tastes like salt.
No.
You want the salt to enhance the taste of the roast. So you come away saying, boy, that roast was great.
Right.
People don't come away from a good roast, a pot roast, to saying, boy, that salt was good.
No, nobody ever says that. No.
So Jesus is comparing us to salt. So how do we enhance our world?
We can enhance it in so many ways. I don't think I have to tell anybody we live in such a negative world.
Right, right.
It's so negative.
Yeah.
But if we're Christians and we really believe what we say we believe,
mm-hmm.
we got a lot to live for.
Right.
I'm not saying our lives are perfect.
No,
right?
Of course
I'm not saying we
and they're
float.
Not they're not trouble free.
Right, and that we float on clouds and there's rainbows and angels visit.
And
I'm not saying that.
And unicorns.
Right, and unicorns. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is we've got something to live for. We have a joy that most people don't, and I think when we walk into a room, we shouldn't be sucking the energy out of it or dragging it down. We should be adding joy and peace and life.
Yeah.
To every atmosphere that we're placed in.
So
enhance the room, in other
words. So what I hear you saying, let me say it back to you this way. So you're saying that as believers, perhaps Jesus was saying to his listeners and his followers, you're the salt of the earth. That means you enhance the atmosphere by your attitude.
Right.
So that's one way you enhance the people or the environment. Your attitude can enhance it.
Yes.
And you know, you do this for me just about every day. You come in with a great attitude, and if I've had a tough night before or that morning, and you come in and you're all positive, and it's like salt and light. It is. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. And so, you know, but the attitude, just right. That positive attitude. Listen, we've got hope is what we've got.
We do.
We have hope beyond this circumstance. Therefore, the bigger picture gives us hope.
Yeah.
But we also have joy because we know deep down inside, Jesus has taken care of the most important issues of our life.
Right.
So in a way, you might say we're content and
we're
free.
Peace.
Yeah, peace.
Yeah, we have peace.
It's another good way to say it.
And then another thing about salt, Pastor, and I think this is one of the main things Jesus is saying in there, I want you to stand out.
Right.
I want you, like you said, enhanced, but I want you to be different
mm-hmm.
than everybody else.
Well, especially we could go to light on that one.
Right, yeah.
Particularly
yeah.
where, you know, you and I have been caving before. And we won't tell that.
That's quite a story.
We won't tell the story, but you probably remember well, and if not from the caving story, from another situation
yeah.
in your life
yeah.
where everything, there is absolutely zero light, zero light.
Yeah, we turned them out at
yeah.
one point in
That's
that
right.
cave. And
That's right.
When we think of absolute darkness, you know.
It doesn't, and here's my point, it doesn't take much light to give you, to change the whole situation.
Yeah.
One flashlight made you feel like, oh, there is reality out there. Oh, you
right.
know, I can move, or, you know, oh, I'm not standing on the edge of the cliff here. Just one light, a little light in a lot of darkness makes a huge difference. And so, you know, we are light. And in that way, we stand out in a very stark way, whether it's our attitude or let's go to another way that we're salt and light. Our actions.
Yeah.
Now, what are actions that believers regularly embrace or engage in that brings light to our world?
Well, I think obviously church is a big one
well, yeah.
out there. And that community, that camaraderie, that, you know, we don't do church for numbers. We do church to, if you've ever gone through a hard thing in your life, a death in your family,
right.
a tragedy or something like that, you figure out real quick how powerful a church body is.
Right.
And how powerful that light can be in some of your worst circumstances.
The support.
Or in some of the best circumstances.
Right, right.
To have people there that celebrate with you.
Yeah.
And help you go through. It's nice to have that family and that uh-huh. that link together. And that, I mean, that's a huge deal.
You know, we use this phrase when we promote life groups.
Right, right.
We say, we're trying to give you an environment or a relationship where there's always somebody that feels your pain deeply and celebrates your victories with you, you know, enthusiastically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so they feel your pain and they celebrate your victories.
That's right.
You know, we're about to start football season.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I say it's already started, but for us.
The real football
yeah,
season starts
for us,
this week.
It doesn't start until the SEC
That's
straps
right.
on the helmets.
That's right.
And so, but, you know, I've used this illustration often when we've been encouraging people to actually develop relationships within the church for this very reason. Nobody wants to watch a football game alone.
Nobody.
Where there's nobody to high five when your team makes the big touchdown, or you know, there's nobody that understands how you feel when your team loses. You know, you want somebody there
yeah.
to experience that whole deal with you. And so whether it's celebrating high fives or it's the agony of defeat, as the old Wide World of Sports show used to say, you know, and either way, we're human beings. We need relationship. The church is a lot. Matter of fact, it says in the scripture that they will know you are Christians by your love. And it's talking about your love for one another, for other believers within this relationship, not an organization. It's not an event on Sunday.
Yeah.
It is a relationship of people who are tied together by one thing.
Yeah.
Not by race, not by politics, not by economic status, not by culture. Not even by geographical territory. They're bound together by this one thing. They all have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And as such, He says that we're all part of the same body and He's the head.
Yeah.
So we're connected organically. We're connected spiritually. But we often, sometimes believers don't function that way.
Yeah.
But it's set up where they can, and they many times they do, so that when you go through a funeral, you have somebody that feels your pain.
Yeah.
When you have a high moment in your life, there's people there to celebrate you and celebrate your victory. And so, yeah, we're a light that way, but here's another way.
Yeah.
We're a light when we serve those that nobody else is serving.
That's right.
Or we serve those who can't or won't serve us back.
That's good.
You know, Jesus made it clear. You know, you're blessed to give, and particularly when you're not expecting anything in return. And as a matter of fact, I've got my Bible. I'm sorry, I didn't pull it up on my phone. But one of the last things it says in verse 16 is, "So let your light so shine before men that they may see
your good deeds,
your good works or good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven." So good deeds is one of the primary ways that we shine a light in dark place.
Right.
Because think about it. There's been moments where you needed somebody to show up and help you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, I can think about times I've broken down on the road in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, I mean, I'm talking about in days before cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in situations where I had a cell phone, but I had no signal, and I was lost. And, you know, and so there's those moments in everybody's life where you need, you know, the knight in shining armor to come bounding into the scene, or the cavalry coming over the hill with, you know, sabers flashing and bugles blowing and flags flying. Yeah. You need somebody to come to your rescue. And boy, you talking about turning your darkness, your dark moment, bringing a speck of light into it, and that's all you need, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's so many times that we have that opportunity, and that's how we can fulfill what Jesus is saying. I think the key here is do you see yourself that way?
Yeah.
Are you always looking for someone to be your light, or are you looking
to be the light?
To be the light in a dark situation. Are you ready to be salt where maybe people don't come away saying, "Wow, Seth is so awesome," but no, God is so awesome, and Seth was the reason they saw the beauty and the goodness of God.
Right.
In other words, you were the salt on the roast.
Yeah.
They didn't come away saying, "Wow, what great salt."
Yeah.
They came away saying, "Wow, how good that roast was."
Right.
Well, same way with us as people, right? I mean, do we see ourselves as salt?
Yeah.
What difference would that make in our lives if every believer really? We talk about identities today.
Yeah.
How do you identify? Well, we won't go too far down that trail,
no.
but do you identify as salt?
No.
Or do you identify
light.
As light
yeah.
in your everyday life, everywhere you go? So what would that look like if a believer really began to identify as salt and as light in their own life?
I think they would definitely, I think as believers, if we really believed that, Then when we hear, I honestly believe God opens up things around us. We just kind of got to be listening for it, right?
Yeah, and looking.
So,
yeah.
Well, looking and listening, and so often we can see pain around us. We can see, and I believe, yes, God is the solution for that. But I believe God uses us as the people to be that salt, that light, in the midst of people's situations,
right.
in the midst of heartache, in the midst of those things. I think God sets us up. He chooses to use us to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And He urges us to do that. And so if every Christian took that seriously, I think our world would be such a greater place, because obviously, in the way we talked about a few weeks ago, true love, if we all really loved people the way Jesus did, we would make such a significant difference.
We would.
We would stand out like a lighthouse on top of a, you know, mountain in the ocean.
Absolutely.
And so people would, when things went bad, they'd be looking for us because we had the solution.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a saying an elderly man told me back a good while back. It was a very simple statement, but it's so profound. And here it is. Love is as love does.
That's good.
You know, and we got a lot of lovey-dovey words.
Oh, yeah.
We got even lovey-dovey feelings.
Yes.
But love is, the real love is the love that does.
That's good.
The real love is the love that acts. In other words, the real love is the love that serves someone else's welfare.
Right.
With no, not expecting anything in return. As a matter of fact, you look at 1 Corinthians 13, which is the
love chapter.
The love chapter. I mean, mm-hmm. such an inspired, poetic picture of what godly, unselfish love looks like. And but, you know, all through the Scripture, both Jesus and the apostles, they hit a theme over and over again. You do good deeds and other people will see the goodness of God. I mean, that's said 15 different ways probably.
Yeah.
You act with the goodness of God toward people. Jesus, talking about identity, Jesus identified himself this way. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many.
Right.
And I think that's Mark 10:45, something like that, or 10:8, something. Anyway, it's in Mark, I know. But talking about the ultimate act of love, the ultimate act of love.
Yeah.
He served his entire life. He was always thinking about other people and the Father. He's always had his eyes on what they need, on what he can do for them, on the light he can bring, the encouragement, the healing, the, you know, the deliverance, whatever it was. And then, on top of all of that, lifestyle of giving, doing, serving other people's welfare, he actually did the ultimate and he laid down his life, died in our place for our sin.
Man.
Because our sin deserved
death.
Eternal death means eternal separation from life, and he is life. Mm. And so, you know, he's our example. But you're talking about he was the light of the world, and he turns around and says, we're the light of the world. Well, what does that say? It means we need to be like Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
Christ-like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's about action, is my point, though. He didn't just say loving things. As a matter of fact, there's one scripture that says, if you see someone naked and blind, I think it's in James, and you say to them, go, be blessed, be warm, be filled, and you send them away hungry or send them away without proper clothing, and it was in your power to help them, that's not the way Jesus works.
Yeah.
He don't send you away. And so, you know, I think when we realize, as you said, God sets us up. So how do we do that practically? And we'll wrap this up. But how do we practically identify as salt and light? And what are some pointers on how to look for that and how to not miss the moments?
Well, first off, you as a Christian, if we really are, we have the hope of salvation. Mm-hmm. And we need to take that into every hard situation, anybody could struggle with.
Right.
That's a key component right there. Mm-hmm. That's a key something we need to always consider. Mm-hmm. Because we have the solution. We always, you know, we hate cancer. We hate the word cancer. And
absolutely.
It's a terrible word. It's a terrible prognosis. Nobody wants to get that.
Right.
And cancer can kill you. We've seen it happen in the last few years.
Months,
you know, to multiple people. And it's hard. It's terrible. But sin's worse than that.
Yeah, right.
And sin is worse. It's a worse condition.
Mm-hmm.
It can, you know, cancer can kill our bodies. Sin can kill us forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about how cruel would it be, just think about this, how cruel would it be to have the cure for cancer, but to keep it to yourself mm-hmm. and to never share it?
Yeah.
How? I mean, you would be like Hitler.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to be the same mindset, same hatred, yet we have the cure for people's sin disease, But we hold it from them.
Yeah.
And the death they could face from that's even deeper.
Right.
And so God calls us to be, He calls us to be the light. And how do we see that? How do we, people will eventually come to you. And if you're a Christian, you're living the life, if you have that joyful spirit, if you have that love, people are going to come to you in times of trouble, times of frustration. Right. How do you deal with this? How have you been through this? How do you make it through this?
Yeah.
What's your solution? And you have the cure.
Right.
And I just told you what it is. It's salvation.
Yeah.
But not even that. Just hearing people's pain.
So listening.
Listening for people's pain. If they're going through a struggle or a heartache or something, I know a lot of us are afraid to do it, but it doesn't take much for us to ask somebody, hey, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Can I pray for you in this moment? Can you? I have never really had anybody, maybe once or twice I mean, I can think maybe two times where they're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
But 90% of the time, somebody's going to let you pray for them.
Right, right.
I mean, and so God has placed you on this planet to make a difference. And that's how we make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
We're there for people.
Right.
We show up for them.
Sure, sure.
We help them through the hard time. It doesn't matter if they go to your church or not, if they're going through something.
Yeah.
Make them a meal. Pray for them. Be there for them.
Yeah.
That's what God called us to do and be.
Let me just give two or three practical things.
Yeah, go ahead.
One is ask God for those opportunities.
Right. Yeah.
Ask Him for them. Ask Him for them.
He'll give them.
And He will give them to you. And we both have stories of that.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was asking Him for an opportunity to share the love of Jesus and the truth about Jesus with someone. And I was standing in a line at a bank on payday, which I guess there was a mill nearby and a lot of people were getting paid. And a guy, big guy, standing in front of me, everybody you know is just eager to get in and get out. He just wheels around and says, so, how are you doing today? And it's like, this must be my opportunity I prayed for.
There it is.
Okay. But so pray for opportunities. Then look for opportunities. And one of the things you just said is important. Listen for the pain in people's voice. And by the way, pain often disguises itself as anger.
Yeah.
And so if you encounter an angry person, they are probably a hurting person.
That's right.
Or they are an afraid person. Or, you know, they are a hopeless person and they're angry. And so just realize, look, listen, ask the Spirit to alert you so that you will be ready to respond, to listen to people's pain, to just serve them where they're at, okay? Find a way to serve people.
Right.
If you'll find a way to serve people, you become salt and light, and you will earn the right to say something. Serve, then say.
Right.
And if you serve them well, many times you have the right. And if you listen to them, you gain the right to say. And be ready to share the reason for the hope that's in you, as it says in the Scriptures.
It's good.
I think it's 1 Peter that says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in your heart.
It's okay? Good.
And so those are some ways that you can actively prepare to be salt and light. And I'll end with this. There's a saying that's become popular in the church. It's supposedly a quote of Francis of Assisi, an awesome Christian man that touched so many poor people, particularly, I think it's back in the Middle Ages or the early 12, 1300s. But Francis of Assisi reportedly said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, but I'm going to say this. If we love people well and we serve them well, and we never took the opportunity to tell them why we have love in our heart, why we have hope in our life, why we have joy in our soul, then we've done what you said a while ago. And that is, we've sat on the solution, the remedy for a soul cancer that's going to damn them forever. We sat on it, served, loved them well.
Yeah.
But the most loving thing we could have done was to share the gospel of Jesus with them.
It's good.
Not just in actions, but in words. So it's not either or.
It's both.
It's both. ask God for an opportunity for both. And I think we'll probably end there. So
yeah.
you want to just share with them how they could pray that prayer if they're not a believer today?
Yeah, if you're not a believer, you want to begin to follow in this process, then you can just pray this prayer with me. Say something like this: Father God, I pray that you would come into my life, into my heart. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've messed up, I've made mistakes, that I've dropped the ball. God, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised from the dead, and I believe that you came for me. God, come into my heart, become my Savior today, and cleanse me of my sin. God, and I pray that you would help me be salt and light to my world. In Jesus' name, amen.